Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is...
Ben. My name is Peter. I was just sort of doing my hair there when you started.
Yeah.
That's, you know, why not?
Like you're right out of a L'Oreal advert.
Yes. Oh, a nice L'Oreal. It's not L'Oreal or L'Oreal. It's L'Oreal.
L'Oreal Amenope.
Yes. Yeah. I had a friend who... I was going to say that English was her second language. It wasn't. Her family, her parents had come to Britain from the Middle East.
Okay.
But she was she was born in England, so it was her first language. But she used to pronounce Lviv as Lviv.
Okay.
And also Pantene as Pantene.
Pantene is the American pronunciation.
Is it really?
They call it Pantene.
So we thought it was quite amusing that the two brand names we happened to knew that she couldn't get right in her head were both shampoos. It was just a strange coincidence.
Oh.
Yeah. She's one of my best friends. Don't worry. It was okay. It was all in jest. Anyway, it's a good start to the podcast.
Great. Now. Welcome to our video game podcast.
Our video game podcast.
I feel so tired today.
Do you?
I feel like I've got absolutely nothing going for me today.
Well, sorry to just throw a crap anecdote
No,
at
that's
you
okay. It wouldn't be the podcast without one of those, either from myself or you.
Yeah.
I've got like my eyes, I feel them just sort of closing of their own volition.
Did you not sleep well or did you?
I slept fine, but yesterday I was really tired too. I think I just need the last weekend I had a very, very social weekend, which I'll talk about when we talk games, we're playing.
Yeah.
But this weekend it's the same deal, really.
Is it?
And I just want to sleep.
I was very tired yesterday in the office because it was very warm. Mm. When we got in, it was cold, and I put the heating on, and then it got warmer and warmer to the point where I wanted the heating off because it was making me lethargic, but I was that lethargic that I couldn't be bothered to get out of my chair.
It's a tricky cycle, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would succumb to hypothermia so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't be arsed.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about our video game podcast. The podcast, by the way, that you are not only listening to, but a podcast that we cannot possibly do without the support of our weekly sponsors. We get a new sponsor every week. It's a real company. Mm. It's a real product. Yeah. It's a real Pantene.
Lviv
flavor. That's what you call them, isn't it? Flavors.
Flavor,
shampoo.
Yeah.
Mm. What's your favorite flavor of shampoo?
Oh, eucalyptus.
Really?
No.
Mine is sport.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's one of
it
my favorites.
It makes all
ones.
Of the women's come for you.
They do.
I mean,
they're
as
out
in
there.
Travel towards you. Not. I don't mean anything else by that.
Happy Valentine's yesterday, everyone.
Yeah.
Peter, you've got the ad read for the sponsor this week.
I have.
Tell me all about this fine, upstanding, moral company.
Well, you know how that cool Mimi Sonic movie's coming out soon?
I certainly dos.
You certainly dos, yeah. MS-DOS. Well, they have their own tie-in company.
Yeah.
Coming out alongside that. You know how sometimes
I do.
A film will release merchandisables?
Yeah, I do.
Well, we're sponsored by some of the tie-in merchandise for the Sonic movie.
Okay.
This week. It's the Sonic brand laxatives. If you know when you're looking at your watch and you're like, oh, I could kind of do with having a little plops in the next sort of 10 to 15 minutes.
Got a custom mark on my watch that says plop o'clock.
Yeah, so it's plop o'clock, but you're like, oh, but I need to leave immediately. I need to go in like the next 2 minutes.
I must evacuate.
Yeah, well, what you need to do there is evacuate your bowels very quickly so that you're able to get out of the building and head to work or whatever.
We're taking an awful long run up to this to this joke.
Gotta go, comma, fast, question mark. Gotta go fast.
Okay.
Do you need to go quickly?
You
soon?
Need to go quick?
Soon? Do you need to, in the next few moments, go?
Right.
Have some Sonic Brand laxatives.
Okay. Is it a little blue pill?
Yeah, it is. It comes in yellow and red as well. The yellow one's not very good.
No. What does the yellow one do?
It just sort of screams at you. And okay. Yeah, you sort of wish that it didn't exist.
But the red one?
Oh, it's really edgy.
Is it?
As in, it's uncomfortable when you actually have the plop.
Okay, there's a lot of edges
on it. Yeah.
There's a lot of edges.
Don't know how that happens. Okay. Don't take the red one.
Brilliant. I don't like any of that.
No.
Which is fortunate because that's a lie.
Good.
It's not real. It's not a real ad read. You fools.
But it was so smooth.
Well, yeah, but yeah, that's the power of the laxative, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
You fall for it every week. I don't know what's wrong with you.
You're
the
idiots.
Real sponsors are, of course, our patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. There are various tiers that you can support us at. It's very much appreciated. You get access to things like Worst Games Ever 2 days early,
mm-hmm.
Patreon-exclusive Discord calls. Yeah, is that right? Discord-exclusive Patreon calls?
Patreon-exclusive Discord calls. Yeah,
that doesn't
right.
make sense, doesn't yeah. it? I felt like I got that wrong in my head. All sorts of other things. However, as a bare minimum, if you were to give $1 a month, you would get access to the patron zone, which is the place that I'm desperately trying to you know that bit from Wallace and Gromit where he's putting the track in front of the train.
Yeah,
that's what's happening
that's
with
what
words
doing.
Currently.
But you've long fallen off the track.
I'm already falling, but I'm still trying to build something. It's like Line Rider. Basically, if you go there and you donate $1 a month...
Good Line Rider reference.
Thank you. I always try to keep it topical, don't we?
Yeah.
You'll get access to the podcast post where we ask for podcast questions. I stuck the landing.
You did.
I got it.
You did.
I got there
Gromit.
Eventually. Thank you.
I don't know what you've done with the controls, but it was good.
It was all over the place. Peter, please help me.
We've got a question here. This is from Archers Be Cray. Sometimes Archers do be cray.
They do be like that.
They do sometimes be like that. Archers Be Cray says, what are both of your favourite video game video game movie crossovers? With the soon to be released Marvel game, I wonder if you guys have a soft spot or hard spot on any movie video games. And then at this point, I'd already started to write my answer like a SWAT at school who's not even read the full question.
Right.
And then right at the end it says, I always remember playing the PS2 King Kong game, which is what I'd begun to write already.
You are a huge, gigantic loser.
I am.
You are. Don't read the last two words because I accidentally put those on there. I shuffled the
questions around. I scribbled them out because I could tell.
I've only just seen it.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
Really, really bad. Yeah. And you did this yesterday. So you were tired yesterday too. So you do have an excuse.
Exactly. I've got all the excuses. I'm infallible.
King Kong. Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
The PS2
PJKK.
Version, PJKK, yeah. Was a really good game, I think. Mm-hmm. For a movie tie-in, it was... In fact, we've got a list on our channel of 10 good... movie-based video games, and this is on there.
There you go.
It was by Peter's favourite man, Michel Ancel. He was in charge of that. It's very... There's very minimal HUD, and even, what does occasionally appear mostly vanishes after... Like, it just is there when you need it, I think, like your ammo counter, and then that's it, it disappears. I think it's even letterboxed all the way through. So it's quite sort of cinematic, even though it's a first-person shooter for the most part. But you get to play as Kong as well, which is third-person, and you just beat T-Rexes up and stuff like that.
Let me beat up T-Rexes.
And there's a secret ending as well to that game. So we all know what happens at the end of King Kong. Spoilers, King Kong climbs to the top of, sometimes it's the Empire State Building. In older games, it was actually the world. In older films, it was the World Trade Center,
right?
Which he can't do anymore.
No, is that the end? Is that where it just finishes? Usually, he's just on top of a building.
No, well, he climbs up it, and then they ship.
It says
I wasn't
Finn.
Done. Yeah. What's going to find out in the next? Well, we'll never do a sequel.
King Konged.
Yeah.
The sequel.
He climbs up there and then planes come and shoot him down and he dies.
That's sad.
He
How
falls.
Many people did he kill by falling on them?
I don't know.
Six, seven.
Like 12.
That's a lot of people.
He smacks some of the planes out of the sky as well.
That's even more. That's a high body count.
That's really bad. But that's like the sort of the tragedy of King Kong there at the end. And the man who's been making the film, I think he's called Denham.
Denham.
His famous line at the end is, "It was beauty killed the beast." Because he was like in love with the girl, and that's
right.
That's why he died.
That's the earliest furry fanfic.
It
as
is
well,
actually, but the PS2 video game version of that film has a secret ending where you just smash a bunch of planes.
Where he gets the girl.
He gets the girl, and he decides. Actually, no, it's okay. I'll come down. And he just climbs back down the Empire State Building. Then it kind of fades to black. And then he's back on the island, like, beating his chest. And the plane is, like, flying around going, "Oh, Kong, yay." So I think the idea is that he climbed down and went, "Sorry, everyone. Sorry. Just take me home. So we've all had a drink. I'm really, you know, these aren't trainers. I've got a shirt on. I will just take me home, please."
I thought you were going to say he goes to King Kong prison.
Oh,
he just has to go to a big special jail.
Yeah,
because he's been naughty and he's killed
himself
four people.
He gets massive handcuffs put on him. Yeah, that's how it works.
Could be it.
So that's fun. Like, there's an extra ending where Kong doesn't die, which is
nice
and not sad.
Good. I've got one.
Yeah.
The Lord of the Rings games.
Oh yeah, very good.
Return of the King and the Two Towers.
Mm-hmm.
Those games had no right to be as good as they were.
No. Nope.
They were fantastic. I don't know if both of them had co-op, but certainly I think Return of the King did.
Yeah.
Where you could play with a friend and you got to pick your favorite hero in any given scene.
Yeah, different characters.
You played through the game following the story of the film, and it would fade from sort of horrifying blocky PS2 graphics into actual
clips
from the movie. But you'd get points and you'd level up and be able to buy new moves and stuff. It was really, really well put together. And I was always very sad when I went back and played The Hobbit, which of course wasn't based on the films because there wasn't a Hobbit game. The Fellowship of the Ring even, actually, sorry. There was a Fellowship of the Ring game.
Right, yeah, but
based on the movies. It was based on the book. And I was always so baffled by it. And I didn't really understand it. And I think I left it at some point and I went downstairs to get a drink or whatever and forgot about it. And I came upstairs and it turns out there was this, at the beginning of the game, there's apparently this real-time sort of meta game where you have to escape the Shire before the spook boys get you.
Oh, yeah.
Because I came back upstairs to a screen that said I'd been captured by the spook boys because I took too long to get out of the Shire.
Oh, God.
I was like, oh, man. Well, never return this to the library, which is where I borrowed it from.
Yeah.
Those two games are brilliant, though. The Return of the King and the Two Towers. More recently, however, the Ratchet and Clank sort of reboot, which was developed by Insomniac, was technically a movie tie-in.
I suppose so, yeah.
For the film.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, there's it's a bit of a tenuous one because Insomniac, obviously, Ratchet and Clank is theirs, and they basically remade the first game but made it look shiny. But it was almost indistinguishable from the film from what I saw from the trailers because I'm not going to go and see the film.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that also deserves a mention as well.
I'd like
being
to play
a movie
that.
Tie-in that was good.
Because I liked the first one, but it only just stands up. Like, you go back and play it and you're like, yeah, this is like a PS2 like era mascot platformer. It's a bit wink wonk and like
some people mad for Ratchet and Clank.
I know.
My friend is a huge Ratchet and Clank fan. Yeah. I think for some people it's their Spyro.
Oh,
Crash
yeah, of
Bandicoot,
course. I understand
same with
that.
Jack and Daxter. I can lend you it if you want to play it.
Yeah, maybe.
It's very good.
Maybe I will.
So those are my choices there.
I've got a couple more quick ones.
Okay.
Harry Potter. The PS1
Yeah, that's
games.
That's a good point.
You know, they look weird and stuff, but they're very charming. I like going to Diagon Alley. That was just an extra thing in there that wasn't even part of the film, where, like, in the middle of term, he goes with Hagrid to Diagon Alley and does some shopping and goes to Gringotts and stuff.
That's fun.
Super fun.
You get to go on the minecart ride.
Yeah,
which
trouble
is
with the trolley.
Highly irresponsible
it
to,
is.
To go on that.
And the music is so good as well. Jeremy Sewell.
Sewell.
Yeah. But also, Spider-Man 1, right? Now, everyone talks about Spider-Man 2 because it's so good. The web swinging's great.
So Spider-Man the movie, the video game.
Yeah. The Sam Raimi ones. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man 2 is the one that most people talk about because objectively it's better than Spider-Man 1.
Right.
But I didn't have Spider-Man 2 when I was younger. I had Spider-Man 1, really liked it. The narration is done by Bruce Campbell again, like the tutorial stuff, which is really funny. Like halfway through the tutorial, he just says, "I'm off to get a ham sandwich." And then like the next time you hear from him, he like gives you some instruction and then it finishes and goes, "Oh, too much mustard," like that. It's just so weird. But it had like loads of extra villains in it that weren't even in the movie. Like Vulture was in it and Shocker, Scorpion was in it. And again, best of all,
yeah,
a bit like King Kong.
What?
Once you've finished Spider-Man 1 all the way through, you then unlock Harry Osborn's Green Goblin, not Norman Osborn's Green Goblin, which everyone always corrects me on whenever I mention this in a list. They're like, actually, it's Norman Osborn in Spider-Man 1. No, it's not. It's set after the film, after he's died, right?
Right.
Norman takes up the goblin cowl.
The gobbers. But he doesn't become the gobbers until, is it Spider-Man 3?
No, it's non-canon, like this,
oh, right.
This
they just,
campaign.
They didn't know it was going to go that way in the films. They just thought, this will be fun.
But it's set after Norman's death and Harry puts on the suit, gets the glider and is investigating Norman's death. And you play through all of the same levels you played through originally, but they've just redubbed a lot of the dialogue to like retroactively make a whole new story where he's like investigating past events that like happened. And that's why he's gone back to these locations. And you would fly around on the glider and like throw bombs at people and stuff. This whole extra character with completely different mechanics.
You get to play as Frames Janko.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand.
James Franco.
Yes, you do. You do get to play. I wonder if it's voiced by him. Because Tobey Maguire did the voice for that game.
Hey, everyone.
Pizza time.
Pizza time. It's a shame he's gone from the universe. Apparently, I looked him up recently. Try and find out why. Apparently, he's just a bit of an ass. He's difficult to work with. Apparently, he's very difficult to work with.
Oh, that's sad. He directs now, doesn't he?
He's a problematic man. Yeah, but apparently even that hasn't gone too great for him. Oh. Which is a shame, because if Sony ever were brave enough to give us a proper Spider-Verse film with Holland, Garfield, and Hey, everyone! Then he could cause massive issues because he's a big old Wilson.
Yeah, but
we'll see.
Simultaneously, lots of people's favorite Spider-Man, or certainly those films are people's favorite films. It's not necessarily the favorite Spider-Man.
I mean, he's got the best memes. That he has. Cannot be denied.
Didn't he play a pizza delivery guy though in Spider-Verse? Enter the Spider-Verse.
I don't know. Actually,
I've heard. I don't know if that's true. I've seen something
Tobey
like
Maguire Enter the Spider-Verse.
Information.
I think he didn't actually play one of the Spider-Men, but he played a pizza delivery guy. I don't think he said pizza time, but...
Pizza time.
Pizza time.
It's pizza time.
Go! You know, his pizza delivery man. Do you not know that meme?
No, I've not seen that bit.
There's the bit where he tells him, like, you know, deliver these pizzas, and he goes, oh yeah, sure, and then sort of pauses, and then the guy goes, go! And people have, like, also just taken that. Just right. the entire any reference
just
to
anything
pizza
in that film. It's so good.
Yeah.
There was a meme I know that we're way off topic and it's only question one. It's been 20 minutes.
It's insane.
There was a video that I saw recently that just absolutely destroyed me, and I'll have to try and find it so I can send it to you. And it's a clip from Into the Spider-Verse or Enter the Spider-Verse or Become the Spider-Verse,
whatever it's called.
Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Where all the characters are in the same room, all the Spideys, and then all their senses start going off and they turn around to face the door, and someone's edited it so that when the door opens, it's him arriving late for the dinner party. And he just goes, hey, everyone.
Oh, yeah. I've
it's
seen
so
that.
So good.
I've it's seen that.
So good.
Oh, and then there's the time he chows down on that hot dog when he just watches the like the police car go past and he looks and then he just goes. So everything he does.
Brilliant.
The dance.
It's so overacted. Yeah. There's the bit with Mary Jane where she's holding on to him for dear life while he's swinging. And actually, if you look closely, it's just a mannequin of Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
She's just holding on to a mannequin.
He's just completely stiff.
Absolutely emotionless.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolute. What a phenomenal set of films.
Mm.
I'm something of a scientist myself.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's get through what we play in as fast as
quickly.
We can. It's what we play in.
Mm.
Peter, what we play in.
Well, I've been continuing Resi 4, as I've said past few weeks, because I've been live streaming that Mm-hmm. Really enjoying it. It's a good game.
Yes.
It's a very good game. Continues to be a good game every week. But also this week, I've actually gone back to Crash Bandicoot 2 on the Insane Trilogy.
Oh.
Because it turns out I've not platinumed that, and I thought I had.
Oh.
Because I've platinumed Spyro 1 to 3 and Crash 1 and 3.
Right.
And I think I just got confused and thought I'd done all of both of them.
Okay.
That's
embarrassing.
Oh,
that's
very embarrassing.
What a stain on your legacy.
Well, Crash 2 is my least favorite Crash game. And, I mean, if you take the six games, Spyro and Crash, all together, Crash 2 is my least favorite of the entire six. Right. Or maybe not. Maybe Spyro 3 is. Anyway.
I'll fight you.
I'm not in it for platinum pops themselves. I don't. So, for example, I wouldn't get anything out of playing one of those easy platinum games that you play.
Yeah.
And just getting a platinum from it. Just like seeing that pop is like, I don't really feel that. But what I do like is knowing that I have 100%ed games that I like, which is a slightly different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Crash 2, Insane Trilogy, I really like overall. And just realize that I've not got all the trophies, so I've been doing that. Mostly just doing time trials, and that's just not fun because you're just playing the same thing over and over again. And mostly you're playing the same first 30 seconds of something, and then you flip it up and you have to start again. But there were a couple that I hadn't got that I was sure I had, but there's one where, like, in the warp room of Crash 2, there's that level Bear It with the little polar bear. And he's waiting outside the portal, and you have to jump on his head like 10 times. And when you do that, like, loads of lives come out of him.
Oh.
And you just get loads of lives, and there's a trophy for that. No, you don't. Oh. But he sort of goes, ah!
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, it's horrible. But you get a trophy for that. It's just called a helping paw, maybe, or some stupid...
Oh, my God. Bear-aside.
Yeah, probably. Just been mopping up a few trophums in Crash 2, mostly. How about you? Swallow. Good.
I finished my drink. Mm. So have you got it yet?
Got
the platinum?
No.
You're still working towards it?
Still working on it, mate.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I had my brothers and sisters up to visit last weekend, which was a non-stop party fun thrill ride.
I bet it was.
From beginning on Thursday night to end on Monday morning.
You got a door pizza.
I did get a door pizza. A pizza that wouldn't fit through the door.
Yeah, you had to hold the box diagonally.
I actually did. It was the man had to collapse, or woman, it was a man, had to collapse the back seats in his car.
Oh my God.
To deliver it. And he said, I think what you need to do, rather than holding it on the sides, is support it in the middle, on the top and the bottom.
Because it's sagging with weight and grease.
Yes. So I did have to sort of... It was like that bit from the Mr. Bean film, where he's pretending he's pushing a trolley, but it's a work of art under a sheet. And when he goes around, goes past people in the corridor, he has to tilt
it
sideways.
Who have a trolley.
Yeah.
He meets another trolley down the corridor, yeah.
So it was a bit like that. I couldn't... It would not fit through a door. It was a 30-inch pizza.
Mm-hmm.
It was astonishing, and I will do it again to my poor, poor body. A lot of party games were on the menu, including some Playlink stuff.
Good.
Played Frantix, which is a fun little collection of mini games. I think we played that on Vidiot.
Mm-hmm.
Played That's You. Played Gang Beasts. I pulled off the sickest elimination in Gang Beasts, my dude.
Did you?
I did a running drop kick. I've never been able to do a running drop kick before or knock anyone out in that game using any kind of kick.
Why didn't you share it on your social medias?
I've got it saved. I've got the clip saved. I may do that. It was on top of the blimp level.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ran around in a circle, jumped, and just drop kicked them right off the edge. It was beautiful.
Wow.
So good. Crash Team Racing, of course, wasn't even a competition.
No, although, of course not.
When I started it up, I had to agree to 70 pages of license agreements again, which was really fun. So thank you, Activision. Oh,
fantastic.
Presumably agreeing that they could charge me for Wumpa coins and all sorts of other stuff like that, which is fun. Man of Medan. Did a playthrough of Man of Medan.
Oh, yeah.
Had a different outcome.
Was it good?
No.
No.
Had a different outcome, though.
Yep.
I was actually able to pay attention to the story this time as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that it does explain a little bit more about what was going on. It wasn't just like mystery spooks.
Yeah.
So
how it felt when we played it.
Yeah, it's difficult when you're playing it on stream, isn't it, to fully pay attention to everything that's going on. But it's still not great. And their next one, I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
Spook Hill. So, not Silent Hill. That is Little Hope, I think it's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
That's due to be coming out in 2020, is what it says. And so far, as far as I'm aware, no word. So we will see what goes on with that.
All we've seen is a trailer with a scary man in it.
Yeah, it's got Will, like, whatever his name
next
is.
Next to someone's face.
Actor.
Will.
Yeah, Will something, you know.
Will Defoe.
Famous actor is in it anyway. He's in lots of stuff. He's in Bandersnatch and things, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You know who he is. You know the guy.
The Bandersnatch one.
Yeah, but Will Bandersnatch.
Yes.
Will Bandersnatch? I don't know. Ask him. Ask him. Anyway, that's all I've played. Let's move on to this next question from Jim Johns.
Jim Johns, which reminds me of...
On
the
what?
Deck Lasers symbiote hat out of Today on Xantiar by Adam Buxton, who's called Ron Johns.
Okay.
Good reference there.
That's a really, really, I nearly swore niche, that one.
Yeah.
You should go find it.
Look it up. Today on Xantiar.
Jim Johns asks, any thoughts on what launch titles are going to accompany the PlayStation 5? Horizon 2, Knack 3? Will you be early adopters or will you be waiting to see what happens before buying? Thank you, Big Ben and Tiny Peter. Tiny Peter, will you be early adopters?
I think so, yeah.
You're going to do it?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it might depend on what the launch titles are, which we don't know yet.
What's the threshold for price that would be a no-no for you? What would you not be willing to pay any more than? Bearing in mind that even if it launches at a price, you're going to look at paying more for games and extra controllers.
No, I know. I wouldn't like to spend more than... Oh, I don't know. It's been that long since I bought a console, and then there's like inflation. I don't even know what I should be expecting it to be. Like £300, maybe?
No.
What, you mean
it'll be more than that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's what I thought, but, you know.
Hey, if you go to Argos with £300, they might let you have some of it.
Yeah,
they might open the box and give you a bit of it.
Yeah.
Then you can come back for the rest.
Yeah, I don't know.
Get it on credit.
It's worrying. I mean, I can...
Sensible.
I will be able to save up that money in time.
It's just a big purchase and
it's just knowing that I'm spending that much money. Yeah, like, I just rather wouldn't... I don't want to spend like £400 on something like that in one go. But anyway, depending on what the launch titles are, and I guess what the price is as well, I think I'll be an early adopter. Yeah. What about you? Will you be an early adopter?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you will. You'll be buying the super special.
Of course I will. I'll be buying the most ridiculous version with all the controllers.
All the trimmings.
That's what I did with PS4. This is a big moment. This is exciting.
Yeah.
It only happens once every, what, 7-8 years?
Yeah.
I'm on board. I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready. This is what I've had the same car, Peter, for nearly a decade, and it keeps not working, and I keep making it work again, and it limps on.
Yeah.
This is what I spend my money on. This is what I choose to spend my money on.
But a new car is a lot more than the cost of a new console.
It absolutely is. So. But what I mean is that if I could save money and put it towards something very practical, but this is, as far as I'm concerned, I don't need a car with working air conditioning or wheels that stay on.
Right.
Or start reliably.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a car that works quite well.
And if it breaks, just go back into the flat and play your PlayStation.
Just play my
Unless it breaks while you're out and you want to go home and play PlayStation.
Oh, what if I'm going to pick up my new PlayStation
and the
car breaks down and says, should have bought it, should have bought the better car.
Should have done it.
Launch titles, though.
Launch titles. I mean, straight off the bat, there'll be some games that are coming out before the PS5 that will surely be available at launch on PS5. The Last of Us Part 2, Cyberpunk, others, you know. Resi 3 is coming out before then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I've got to break it down. What we have to bear in mind is that the PS5 is apparently backwards compatible, sort of, but maybe not.
True.
With PS4.
That's a good point. It might not be worth them doing a PS5 version of things.
Well, they'll find a way to sell it to you. They certainly will. CD Projekt Red have said that they are not working on a PS5 or Xbox Series X version of Cyberpunk currently.
Did not know that.
But that may be COD's wallopy bolly wallies.
Yeah, Call of Duty's wallop.
Could be absolute COD swallop. So I broke it down into a few categories. Sports.
Yeah.
You're going to get FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get NBA.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
Think you'll get the wrestles? 2K? Do you think it might work yet?
Maybe if they take a year off, which they really should, yeah. We'll see. Multi-platform AAA is the next one I've got.
I've got one of those.
You'll probably find an enhanced version of the Coddles.
Yeah.
Of the arse creams. The Assassin's Creams.
Yeah.
And whatever the big one is, maybe the Division, not the Division, Watch Dogs.
Well,
I wonder if
there might be a new version of the Arse Creams. What if Assassin's Creed Valhalla comes out as a launch title?
Well, that's what I mean.
Oh, right, yeah.
Big multi-platform AAA game is from the big companies, like maybe EA stealth release a third Battlefront game this year without anyone expecting it. They announce it and turn it around, and it's on PS4 and PS5 and Xbox Series X and so on.
When you said enhanced, I thought you meant like Origins. But
no, I mean, either they come out before earlier in the year and then they're like, here's the full version with the season pass in it, and it's just the same.
Yeah.
It's identical, really. Or it comes out at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was 2017 when Origins came out. They used to churn those games out once a year, and then they said, we're not going to do that anymore.
There was Odyssey last year. Was it 2018? No, 2018 wasn't last year, was it?
Origins.
Jesus.
Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah, and then they did Odyssey, which was the Greek one.
Yeah, no, I totally forgot about the Greek one. I was thinking about the Egyptian one.
That was 2018, was it?
I must say, when I looked this up, and I was like, when was the most... Because I was thinking, when was the most...
Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
I was thinking,
when was the most Assassin's Creed Odyssey? Great. Let's find out. Oh.
I was thinking, when was the most recent Assassin's Creed game? And I was like, oh, well, that was the Egyptian one, wasn't it? And I looked up when that came out, and that was 2017. I totally forgot about Odyssey.
But yeah.
Because I didn't play them, that's why.
2018. So it has been. Okay. It will have been a couple of years.
So it still will have been, a couple of years. Well, there you go. So I think that will probably be on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've also got here, remaster, quote unquote. You're looking at The Last of Us 2. You're looking at Death Stranding.
Yeah.
You're looking at the Hideo Kojima uncut edition of Death Stranding.
Hideous Kojima.
Yeah, something like that. Something weird. Some justification, like there was The Last of Us. I think it was just The Last of Us Remastered, actually, is what they called it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it came out sort of 7 months later.
Right.
So they will find ways of re-releasing probably PS4 exclusives again on PS5. Spider-Man Ultimate Edition with all the DLC, but now on PS5 with no loading times, which is their big showcase, was that Spider-Man could travel to any part of the map and there would be no loading.
God, that would be nice.
It would just skip the loading times when you fast traveled. So that'll probably happen. And then, of course, you've got your big exclusive. I think you'll only get one at launch.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will either be Horizon 2, as a lot of people are suggesting,
yeah.
Or maybe even a Killzone game.
Yeah, maybe
so. Because
we
had one last generation, and I'm not a huge Killzone fan, but it's big enough, isn't
it? Yeah, people like it. I think, Horizon 2 is probably the best shout there for the big exclusive. But also out there, which wouldn't be exclusive, presumably, Bit of a wild card idea.
Yeah.
Starfield. When's that going to come out?
Oh,
because
God.
Now, that's been in the works forever
since
consoles began.
Yes.
But I know at the end of 2019, some outlets were saying the earliest we could possibly expect Starfield is 2020.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to come out in 2020.
Yeah.
It could come out in 2022 for all we know.
They just saw the Outer Worlds and ran for the hills.
Yeah, but what I do know is that Bethesda have said that it's their next game.
Mm-hmm.
They've confirmed that it is their next game. And also that they're doing that, I mean, by definition of it being their next game, they're doing it before the next Elder Scrolls game.
Right.
Which they've teased already. And I'm sure that's not coming out for 5 years or more. But, you know, if they want to release the next Elder Scrolls game within a respectable time limit that it was worth them teasing it in the first place, so, you know, the next 5 or 6 years, they've got to get Starfield in before then, if they're true to their word. Mm. So possibly in the next year, if they're
could be.
If they've been working on it.
They'll probably have their own E3 conference again this year. Mm-hmm. They can't talk about Doom anymore. They can't talk about Wolfenstein Youngblood anymore.
They will talk about Fallout 76
They will
again.
Talk about Fallout 76. Mm-hmm. And they'll act like, because they didn't really apologize last year. They didn't apologize last year at all. They didn't. They just said,
whoops.
We got some, they said, whoops, we got some things wrong. Mm. And then it's been another disastrous year. But because they've already addressed it, they'll pretend like the last year has been the biggest success story ever, especially as we've got the Wastelanders update coming soon as well, which is adding NPCs back in. So they'll have to talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's that. Maybe they'll confirm that the Elder Scrolls 7, right?
6. Skyrim was 5.
5, right. Yeah. Elder Scrolls 7 sounded weird. It didn't sound right. Elder Scrolls 6 is set in Portsmouth, perhaps.
Oh.
Who's to say?
That would be nice.
Or the Shire. Maybe we're just crossing the streams. But who even knows?
Look out for that mini game at the start where the ghost riders
can
get you.
Where the spook boys chase you while you go down and have, what have you had for your tea?
Well, I've not been chased by spook riders, I'll tell you that.
Apples and chips. Took them from Farmer Maggot's field.
What if Starfield is a ruse? And it's actually their much-needed new engine that they've just been dedicating time and resources to over the last few years.
It's just called the Starfield engine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, we can do anything in this. Watch this.
Fallout 77.
They drop an apple and it just falls through the floor. And it crashes.
They just do a demo and it just blue screens. And
whoops. They go into a building and there's just plant leaves poking through the wall and stuff.
Yeah.
Amazing. And 1,000 cheese wheels. I don't know. I don't even know. We know absolutely nothing about Starfield. But if they were going to have like a huge blowout, it would be at E3. So it's possible.
Mm.
Even if they just show it off and say, well, it's not coming out on the launch, but it's coming out soon. Be excited.
Do it.
Could be. I don't know. But that's the... You got any more?
No, that's
it. You got any more launch titles? But I think that's the general gist. I think it's going to be a fairly standard launch lineup. You got your multi-platform AAA games, you got your remasters, your sports games, one big exclusive, and the only wrinkle here is that it's sort of backwards compatible. And I only say sort of backwards compatible because apparently in some investors call Yves Guillemot, our favourite tiny French man who runs Ubisoft.
And he's obsessed with streaming games now.
He's an oddball, that fellow.
Yeah.
I think it was him who was saying that the Division 2, like they were making... He said something that suggested that it wouldn't be playable on PS5.
Right.
Which obviously raises all sorts of questions about, well, what does backwards compatibility mean if that
doesn't... Why doesn't it just have an emulator on it that can play anything?
If that doesn't work. Mm. So I think that's the wrinkle here. In terms of what you may or may not see re-released. But who's to say at this point? I'm sure we'll learn more over the coming months.
Oh, Eve. He just wants you to buy it on Stadia.
Please keep buying Stadias.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Poor Stadia. Peter, it's time for something especially strange.
It is. I jumped the gun. I got my phone out earlier.
I saw it.
The teacher was like, put that away.
Put that away. We do not need your phones here, Peter Austin. It's time for weird news.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Weird news time. Peter, weird me.
Mine is, it's very, very weird. It's not particularly funny,
Brilliant.
Yep, it's one of those.
Okay.
So
who's died?
Brace yourself.
Oh no, is
no,
it?
Someone has actually died.
Oh no,
died.
Is it that one?
It's that one.
Oh.
Look,
okay.
It's very it's too weird.
I
not
deliberately
to bring
didn't
to
bring
weird
this
news.
One.
Okay. It's too I'm not gonna laugh about it.
No, it's
but
sad.
But it's very
actually.
Strange.
Okay, go on.
Mother reunited with deceased daughter in VR. That's who's died, Ben.
I know.
A mother's daughter.
I know.
Last week, a Korean TV special called Meeting You aired, which focused on a family's loss of their 7-year-old daughter. And in an unsettling finale, the program attempted to reunite the girl with her mother using a virtual reality recreation complete with audio. I think that better wording would be reunite the mother with her daughter. But anyway, You can see it below. Not only was the girl fully replicated in 3D, able to walk around and interact, but the mother was given touch-sensitive gloves to accompany her VR headset, and she was able to walk around a limited green screen set. Within the confines of this moment, these fleeting few minutes, I have no idea, this is from Kotaku, by the way, Luke Plunkett. Within the confines of this moment, these fleeting minutes, I have no idea if this was an ultimately positive experience for this mother, and so I don't want to speak for her personal feelings or try to imagine what she felt interacting like this. Being able to see her daughter one last time might help her in the grieving process. Having some code pretend to be a living thing that she loved might only add to the trauma. Only time and research will tell. This is one of those things that I thought we had another 5 to 10 years to get ready for, maybe some kind of means of reacting or responding to. The uncanny valley is something we still struggle with when it comes simply to entertainment. We're definitely not equipped to be able to tackling these same issues with loved ones. Were this something that could have been done behind closed doors, then maybe we could, and now we'll have to, argue the psychological and ethical merits of such an exercise. But putting it on TV and then the internet for the world to see, well, whatever the long-term moral and ethical questions are, we're going to have to face this. We're going to have to face, comma, this is extremely effed up. That's a slightly weird
slightly
sentence.
Effed up sentence
yeah.
there.
This is strange.
It's very strange. Neither of us are parents.
No.
Neither of us have lost children.
No.
It would be impossible and unfair to speak to this woman's experiences.
Absolutely.
And how she is feeling going into this situation. However, speaking as a white man, which gives me a lot of authority,
it does.
So I'm led to believe,
yeah.
I would not ever, 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 ever want to do this.
No.
Ever, ever. Ever.
I mean, imagine. I'm not even trying to be funny here, but imagine if there was just some sort of graphical glitch while it was happening.
Oh.
I don't
even want to look at photos of my exes. You
right.
know, I cannot imagine. Mm. I cannot begin to imagine.
Yeah.
What this must have been like.
I can see why they did it and where they're going with it, and like if it was very very. Well done and researched and, you know, they really put a lot of thought into it. I can understand that there could be therapy benefits from it or, again, like it could just help with the grieving process. But I think it's very strange and worrying and very Korean/Japanese TV to have a woman on the telly interacting with her dead daughter in a virtual world.
I've not seen the clip, and
I don't really want to either. No,
not that it's, you know, horrible or uncomfortable. I just don't. I feel like that's a very private.
It
thing.
Is exactly.
And obviously, she's clearly agreed to it and signed up for it. Mm. But I think ultimately here, it's an incredibly personal thing, and I personally feel uncomfortable watching it, and I would not want that shared. And as you said, it's a very sort of Asian game show kind of approach in terms of almost gamifying grief in this sort of weird way. And as I said, you know, we don't know what she's
hopefully
going through.
It was very helpful.
It may have been helpful. We don't know how she found it. Nobody seems to have. I've heard this story reported on all over the place, but nobody seems to have actually found, sort of gone the extra mile to find out how it was for her. It was just, there's no way of knowing, because they just want to report the weird story.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're complicit in that, because you're just reading aloud somebody else's story.
Right.
But that seems to be the general thing, is that nobody is actually finding out what it meant to this woman.
Well, I think everyone's
just saying,
a bit...
Oh, isn't it a bit weird?
Well, yeah, I don't think anyone wants to... If, like you say, it's a very private thing.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to watch the video of her doing it, let alone if I was a journalist, I wouldn't want to get in touch with the woman and be like, how was it? Tell me about it. You know, she's lost her daughter. Terrible thing. And, you know, I reiterate, I brought this story along because this section is called Weird News, not Funny Weird News.
No, no,
it
definitely
usually is Funny Weird News. This one isn't. I don't
we'll get
think
to some of
funny.
That in a minute.
We will.
I just assumed that at the end of the TV show, they would talk to her and ask,
like,
interview her and ask her how it was. But it seems nobody who speaks, you know, the dialect or the language, the local language, is able to... has done that.
Yeah.
So I would be very interested to know how she found it, but I wouldn't want to do it.
No.
I would not want to do that.
I think they do use VR now for certain kinds of like therapy and maybe even physio treatment as well. So you can see where like the lines came from when they were coming up with this as an idea. But yeah, it's just a very unusual thing.
And also, when we say we wouldn't want to do it, this, I think when I had a look at this, it said that there was, you know, a dedicated team working on it for the better part of a year.
Oh, yeah,
to recreate this. So it's not going to be, it's never going to be easily accessible.
No.
But, you know, there's a minute chance that we'd ever even be in a position to turn it down, full stop. But as this woman has done it, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I hope it helped.
Yeah, me too.
Very strange, though.
How'd you fancy following that with something really funny?
God, okay. Let's go to Kotaku again.
Okay.
This is Red Dead Redemption 2. You may remember I brought it up very briefly a few weeks ago about how hackers had made their way into the PC version and had started doing strange things.
Mm-hmm.
Hackers are dropping violent two-headed skeletons into Red Dead Online.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is from... Zach Zweisen.
I've like you with the VR story, I've seen this reported, but I haven't read exactly what it entails. All I know is that headline.
Well, here with that double headline.
Yeah,
right?
Treat me.
It's not Halloween, but already Red Dead Online is hang on. But already Red Dead Online is already getting spooky.
Kotaku,
what is happening? Is getting spooky thanks to hackers who are releasing two-headed skeletons into online sessions.
Two-headed.
These aggressive skeletons have started popping up in random places over the last few days, surprising and attacking unsuspecting players. First reported by VG247, you can also find Red Dead Online players sharing stories, photos, and videos of these evil skeletons on Reddit, Twitter, and Steam forums. They seem to pop out of nowhere and then chase nearby players, attacking them with punches and kicks. Some players claim these skeletons are impervious to bullets.
Oh God.
The skeletons aren't an official Rockstar event or part of some secret update. Instead, players on PC seem to be encountering hackers who are getting creative with how they troll players.
I'm glad that Kotaku included that. Now, these two-headed violent skeletons that are appearing out of nowhere...
They're not officially
endorsed. They weren't included
endorsed.
By Rockstar.
These skeleton appearances are consistent with the weird ways Grand Theft Auto Online hackers and modders annoy players, such as by spawning in giant wind turbines or skyscraper-sized sections of Track City, a racetrack in the middle of the city. This two-headed skeleton isn't an original modded creation. In fact, it has been in the game since launch. It can be found in the wreckage of a traveling circus freak show, where someone with two heads seemingly became trapped and died.
I wondered why that was,
All that remains in the game is their skeleton, the same skeleton model that is now being used to attack random players.
I wonder if they chose that deliberately or if there was just a quirk in the code that meant that is the thing that happens to be spawned. You would choose the two-headed skeleton
deliberately, wouldn't you?
If
you encounter a two-headed skeleton in Red Dead Online, get your lasso out and hogtie it, then drop it off a waterfall or into a lake. Or find a new session that isn't infested with hackers.
Mm.
There we go. There's the the weird Red Dead update news.
It's amazing.
Did you also see that Pokemon Home, which is finally out now as an app, people were going through the files, the Android files, and they found that in the files somewhere is a GIF of a woman dancing.
No. What kind of a woman dancing?
So it's not sexy. It's not sexy dance. I mean, to each their own.
I mean, it's a woman.
It's not. It's
must
not
be
a
sexy.
It's not a. It's not a nude dance.
Right.
What it is, it's a gift that someone made of that video where the woman is doing the dance and then a child walks up behind her and just gets smacked in the face by her bottom.
Right.
And that has been included for some reason in the files of this Pokemon Home app.
Right.
And I don't know why, but it's good fun.
Well, I've seen that there's a cool new Professor Oak as well. I thought that you might bring that as your I guess it's not super weird, but he's a bit strange.
Is he?
Strange Oak. Have you not seen him?
No, I haven't seen him.
Oh, yeah, there's a new... Oh, people might be disappointed if we didn't bring that along.
Never mind. We'll work it out.
Look it up yourselves.
We'll get it next time. Yeah. Let's move on to another question. This comes from Robin Lau, Peter.
Yes, it does. Robin Lau says, "Hello, Ben and Peter.
Hello.
Hope you're doing well. Decided to take a crack at a question. You might have already answered this before. Sorry if you have. But did you have any particular gaming habits? Peculiar, yeah, I know. Well, I did know. I've read this before, but I just read it wrong out loud.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
Read it wrong twice.
I did know, but I just don't know right now. Okay. Thanks for telling me.
That's okay.
Did you have any peculiar gaming habits growing up, or even just currently? As a wee lass, I was overly possessive over some mostly hunky husband-worthy characters and would forbid friends and brother from playing them. Any games ranging from co-op, Dynasty Warriors type, or fighting games. I even kept a notebook on the character's last loadout or EXP or save time so I could tell the next time I got on if anyone had been using them. Of course, I've already outgrown this childish habit now, but no, you may not play Chris Redfield in Resident Evil 6. He had 13 rounds on his 909 last time I played. Who's been playing my Chris Redfield?" Robin
very loud
was I know. Well, it's in caps.
It is in caps.
Robin was in the chat on my Resident Evil stream on Monday and said that she thinks Resi 4 Leon is the hunkiest, sexiest Leon.
Hunkiest, sexiest Leon. And well, she would know, wouldn't she?
She was a big fan of him.
She would absolutely know.
She was a wee lass.
There you go.
Good question, Robin.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah,
that,
me too.
That habit is fantastic.
Noting down the details is...
No.
I mean, that's
because he's
extra.
Mine. Because he's mine.
Yeah.
You cannot have him.
Well, I've got one a bit like that, but if you want to... By all means, go first, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of ones. Mm. There's that time, as I've spoken about before, when I broke my PS2 disc tray by leaning over it and I leant on it. That was part of my usual game freeze procedure that I would do.
Right.
Where I would... Eject the disc tray, take out the disc, give it a little rub on my trousers, put it back in the disc tray, put it back in. That doesn't work. You unplug it from the TV. Don't know why that would fix the freezing.
That's going to unfreeze a frozen game.
You blow into the slots gently with consent, and then you plug it all back in.
Yeah.
And then you unplug the controller.
Right.
Just in case it's the controller.
Yeah.
You plug that back in. And I had this whole procedure that I would do.
Did it ever work? Another.
No.
No.
No, it never did. However, I did once fix my heavily, heavily, heavily scratched copy of SmackDown Here Comes the Pain, which was one of my favorite PS2 games, with T-Cut.
Right.
Which is a solution you can buy to sort of buff out scratches on cars, and someone said, "Oh yeah, put a bit of T-Cut on it." My dad happened to have some T-Cut, and I was like, "Okay," and it worked.
Wow!
And it still works now. And it used to freeze all the time. And then as soon as I rubbed T-Cut onto this disc, it worked.
God.
So there's something to be said for that. The other one is from Spyro 3: Year of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
After every sort of tough level or like big boss fight, I'd bring him back to... Is it Sunrise Springs, the first hub world? And I'd take him for a little paddle in the stream.
Yeah, I remember you telling me
and
that.
And I'd used to take him for a little paddle in the stream after, you know, because he'd earned it.
Yeah.
The fictional video game character had earned a nice little break in the stream,
mm-hmm.
little swim. So that was something that I used to do.
I've got one a bit like that me and my siblings used to do in Spyro 1. In Dark Hollow, there's this little staircase. It's only got like four steps that you go up, and it's near the end of the level. You climb up this staircase, and then the exit's there. But at the bottom of this staircase, there's two little wooden pyres, little stacks of firewood. And if you flame them, they light on fire either side of the staircase, and the lighting changes when you do it. It's all like baked in, but it changes the texture of the lighting around it.
Right.
And nowhere else in the game are there lightable fires. It's just a weird thing in Dark Hollow where there's two either side of the staircase. And I don't know who named it out of me and my siblings when we were all in like around 7 years old, but it was called the Staircase of Glory.
Oh, right? Wow.
And you do not go up that staircase without lighting the Staircase of Glory.
No, you don't.
Don't
otherwise
you dare.
It's bad luck.
Yeah. And I don't think in my sort of dozens and dozens of times I've played through Spyro 1, I don't think I've ever gone up that staircase without lighting those fires.
The Staircase of Glory.
The Staircase of Glory. Yeah.
Wow.
On the subject of very young me and my siblings having strange things going on with games, my sister's first ever game that was bought for her was from an aunt who'd bought her a copy of A Bug's Life on PS1. So that was hers. It belonged to her. And she used to let me and my brother sometimes play it.
Okay.
Now, at the time, she was probably about 6 years old. Mm. And in this game, when you're playing it on PS1 out of an old CRT telly, you can't really hear the dialogue sometimes. While you're playing a level and just walking around, just flick, he'll just come out with these lines that just occasionally loop round. Mm-hmm. And one of them in this dark tunnel where there's all these glowing mushrooms to light the tunnel is... iridescent lighting. I like it. Right? But because we couldn't hear what was being said, it was just sort of
iridescent lighting.
My sister thought he was saying something like he doesn't like it or something.
Okay.
And if he said that, we had to turn it off.
Oh no. You had to.
Because he doesn't like it.
Because he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
That's the only fair thing.
So my 6-year-old daughter. Daughter?
Oh my goodness.
What the hell?
Help.
That was weird. My 6-year-old sister would.
That's the word.
I'm tired too. Would if Flick said he doesn't like it, even though he was saying iridescent lighting,
right.
I like it.
You had to turn it off.
We had to turn it off.
So were you aware that this was ridiculous, or were you all in? Were you agreed that? Well, he says he doesn't like it.
Well,
or was it her rule because she owed?
It was her rule.
Okay.
We thought he was saying he doesn't like it or someone doesn't like it, but we thought it was ridiculous that we had to turn it off.
Yeah, because it is.
Yeah, but we thought he was saying that even though he wasn't.
Wow.
The one other thing I have is that when I'm playing a particularly like a sandbox RPG game, but kind of any game really, I just can't help myself. Like there's a term for it in something like D&D where it's mixing player knowledge with character knowledge.
Okay.
So it's the idea that, like, say in a game, there's a bit where you have to walk down a corridor, and then a cutscene plays where the door slams down, and you're like, oh, I can't go this way. I'll have to go that horrible way that, you know. If I'm playing that game for, like, the 10th time, and I could just go the horrible way straight away, I will never do that. Because he doesn't know. He doesn't
so
know
you've
that
you've got to.
I've got to go and trigger that cutscene.
So you play logically.
I do, yeah. And I don't know why I do that, because it's just me and a computer in front of me, a little machine. No one needs to keep up any pretense. Like, I'm aware that door's going to close when I get there. Mm-hmm. But I do that kind of stuff, you know?
I had that in Beyond Two Souls as well, in a lot of these games, actually, where I'm going for a platinum run. And I'm following a guide, and it says, the quickest thing to do here is to be a dick. And I always choose not to be a dick.
Right.
Because I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like to do that. I don't like to upset virtual people.
Yeah.
And, or if I do, I have to, like, listen to a podcast or turn the volume right down. Because it's not that I'm physically incapable. It just makes me uncomfortable. I'd just rather play for a bit longer and be nice.
Right.
Especially if it's characters that I've come to know and it's a game I like. It's weird.
Even though it's just you on your own and just some code.
Well, that's the thing. I saw a tweet or something about it where it says my power fantasy in video games is to have everyone like me.
Yeah.
And I think it's true for a lot of people. You know, it's always fun sometimes to do like an evil playthrough.
Yeah.
But you really have to be in the mindset for it because, my power fantasy in video games is to just please is to please everyone.
People.
Do everything for everyone and keep everyone happy. And that's why Telltale games are so hard sometimes, because you have to piss people off.
Yeah.
Like in life. And video games are my escape from that.
Right.
Where I can, like in the Outer Worlds, make everyone happy.
Right.
And I want to do that.
Well, in the same way that, like, you don't want to make these people who aren't actually real, you want to make them happy. I don't want to confuse Leon Kennedy by making him go the scary way when he's like, there's a perfectly good door right there.
Why not go through the door?
I don't want Leon to be confused.
Peter, can we go through the door?
Yeah.
Please?
No, Leon. No, that door's just going to close. It's just going to close.
That's it.
You
can't. You've got to let him
know. He would wonder how I knew that.
You
would not believe that I
find out.
Could tell the future like that.
For himself.
Yeah.
Peter, it's time to move on to a big discussion. Are you ready? It's time for the big discussion. Big discussion time. This comes from Ginny.
Ginny?
Since BioWare have said they are overhauling Anthem, hopefully for the better, it makes me wonder, are there any other games that would be worth the time and effort to do the same? Games that had a spark of being great but lost themselves along the way. Of course, the obvious example being No Man's Sky. Hello Games had a great idea, but when the game was released, it wasn't the open world space journey they'd originally talked about. So they went back and made the game they promised, and it was all the better for it.
Mm.
Thank you, Ginny. So,
thank you, Ginny.
Anthem, they have recently come out and said that they are committed to completely overhauling the game and making it betterer. We've got a quote here from Eurogamer. Would you like to read it?
Yeah, Eurogamer. BioWare will be focusing on a longer-term redesign over the coming months, with the studio aiming to reinvent the core gameplay loop with clear goals, motivating challenges, and progression with meaningful rewards, end quote. However, the, quote, fun of flying and fighting in a vast science fantasy setting, end quote, will, says the developer, be preserved.
Brilliant.
Good, because I was having a lot of fun in that flying science fantasy world.
Well, that's the big thing, isn't it? I mean, great. People who like Anthem, they do exist.
Mm.
This sounds like it's good for them. Yeah. However, the fundamental issue with Anthem was that the world was dead. Mm-hmm. There was no story. The characters were scaled back. They had dialogue cut. There were line flubs in the finished game and things referring to plot events that were cut because they didn't have time to remove them or re-record anything else. That's the problem with the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the gameplay loop is all wink wonk and not fixed, but it doesn't matter. You just, at that point, you're just polishing a plop.
Yeah.
It's fundamentally not good, in the same way that my pick, Fallout 76, is also fundamentally plopped, because as much as I would love for them to spend and dedicate the time that they apparently are to fixing the game and making it good, it's still on that engine.
Yeah.
And that is the problem. It's buggy and it doesn't work. You can't fix that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fix that by adding NPCs.
Yeah.
You're just stacking more things on top of a creaky old engine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to make it work. However, the idea of playing Fallout with friends is extremely exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking, as we've said before, I'm not talking Elder Scrolls Online, because that's an MMO with a Skyrim skin on it.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want my own instanced world with maybe two or three friends running around in it at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And then just loads of NPCs and stuff.
Yeah, just a full game.
Just
basically
a Fallout game with two players.
And I'm not waving that away like it's simple to do.
Mm.
But if you're able to get 12 players into this online world that's massively vast with lots of stuff to do in it, and now you're saying you're able to add NPCs to it, then why not just make Fallout 5?
Yeah.
Have a two-player option where someone can hop into your game with their character.
I don't think it's even that difficult. I think they've just not done it because, you know, it would require extra resources and stuff, and they've always got by without having multiplayer options in there. But, like, they've always, for years, they've been very, very crude but somewhat functioning multiplayer mods available for the likes of Skyrim and Fallout on Steam, I think. You know, certainly one of the Fallout games had a kind of functional I mean, it was buggy as hell.
Right.
It was made by an amateur modder.
Yeah.
Now, that's made by someone who's, you know, just trying their best to effectively break a game. Surely Bethesda's team of developers would actually be able to just make a Fallout game with multiplayer, like a regular Fallout game as we know it. I think that's a good call. Mm. But like you say, you can't just overhaul Fallout 76 and it suddenly be great.
No, it's not going to work. It's the same with Anthem. It's a different problem. Fallout 76 has structural issues, and Anthem has narrative issues. You can't fix the narrative issues. You can't make that suddenly work. And that's the thing BioWare is known for as well.
Yeah.
Is these rich, engaging worlds, which increasingly they have been failing to create. So much so that BioWare has absolutely no stock anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody sees a BioWare game and gets excited about it anymore because it's just not the same BioWare that it was.
Yeah.
Whereas Anthem fundamentally runs fine and is stable, but there's no heart to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I got confused in my brain there for a second. I think I thought I was talking about Fallout.
Right.
I think I just compared BioWare and Anthem to each other.
Yeah.
Anthem needs story stuff, and you can't patch that in, or you can't fix it with a patch. Fallout 76 needs a new engine, and you can't patch that in.
Yeah.
But I would like to see Fallout 76 overhauled, or even just completely redone from the ground up on a new engine.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I've come at it from like kind of the opposite way, in that I've picked a game that is, for the most part, quite good.
Mm.
But I would still like to see the way, I don't know, just, you know, in the same way that they're just kind of overhauling the gameplay loop in Anthem and the likes of that, rather than, as you say, rebuilding the entire thing from the ground up. I think Crash Nitro Fueled I wish that they'd gone about it in a different way. You know, it plays very well, it looks very good, but you know, the way that they did the Grand Prix, and I'm not here to complain about the microtransactions, although that's obviously a big problem, but just the absolute grind going on in that game just resulted in me getting burnt out on it, like within a few months, which was a shame because I really enjoyed it at the time. And yesterday, a video shuffled on my YouTube, which was some Nitro-fueled stuff, and I watched it and went, oh yeah, that was a fun game to play. I was watching someone like power sliding around a corner and going, oh yeah, like timing the boosts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I kind of resent the fact that it pushed me away by making me sad and tired with it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think they should have done is brought out the sort of Grand Prix content that they've been bringing out, but split it up, made it slightly more frequent, but also easier to unlock. So I think instead of every 4 or 5 weeks bringing out a big pack of loads of stuff, but then kind of forcing you to grind all of that within the month, what they should have done is every 2 or 3 weeks, they could have brought out a new track or a new character. And actually, if you look at how much they brought out, if you imagine just doing one of those at a time, that would have lasted them a long time. Instead of bringing out like 3 characters and a track all in one go every 4 weeks, you know, if they just divvied it up, they could have had a new track or a new character, which is always exciting, and just had you try and unlock that in a couple of weeks by not having to grind so much.
Yeah.
Just set the bar lower, you know, so that you don't have to just sit there and play a load of stuff that you don't actually want to play. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have made multiplayer have massive bonuses in terms of like multipliers, because it's not fun to play that multiplayer game.
No.
Either that, or they should have done proper matchmaking so that it knows how good you are and it matches people up. So there's just kind of a load of almost kind of backstage, behind the scenes aspects.
Quality of life.
Yeah, quality of life stuff that I would love to see completely rehashed.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, as I say, I think it looks great and it plays great for the most part in terms of the actual, you know, the handling and so on. So that's all fine. I don't think they need to mess with that, but it would just be nice if it hadn't just made me... It was like a very sickly piece of cake or something, you know? I enjoyed it, and then I really didn't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think they could have done that a lot better. There were different things they could have done, for sure.
Yeah.
But it is possible. You know, it is possible to take something and completely rework it. You look at Final Fantasy XIV,
yeah.
A Realm Reborn. Mm-hmm. That game came out, got trashed, got taken away again, and they completely remade it from the ground up.
Yeah.
And it's still going now. It made it from PS3 to PS4, and it's probably going to make it onto PS5 as well.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible if the companies are willing to put the time in. But, you know, while Final Fantasy XIV or A Realm Reborn was a complete, you know, from scratch,
yeah,
overhaul, No Man's Sky...
I was about to say, Ginny's example is a good one as well.
It's proof that you can iterate on something. The thing that No Man's Sky had, though, it's in a different situation to Fallout 76 and certainly Anthem, in that it was fundamentally fine.
Mm.
It just wasn't what people
they massively
were advertised.
Overpromised.
Exactly. Yeah. So they've been adding features, and that's been the way that they can go about it, whereas Anthem has narrative issues, Fallout 76 has structural issues.
Mm-hmm.
Crash Team Racing, they could completely rehaul, but they won't because it's Activision and they want your money, please.
Oh, yeah, and loads of people are still playing it, I'm sure. But yeah,
they probably are. Yeah. They probably are. But I would, you know, I wish Fallout... I played a lot of Fallout 76.
Mm-hmm.
So much Fallout 76. And it should and it could and should have been better. And it would have been night and day better if it actually ran properly.
Yeah.
It still would have been weird. It still would have been a weird half-step Fallout game with no NPCs.
Mm.
But if it worked, it just works.
Yeah.
Then that should be a bare minimum requirement, full stop. Stop releasing games on this engine. Are you excited for Starfield on an updated, modified version of our creation engine?
No,
just take a couple of years and don't make any games. Make an engine.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Dreams.
Yeah.
They've been building an engine for about 4 or 5 years now
mm-hmm.
that anyone can use to make games.
Yeah. And make amazing games. It's not even out yet properly, and it's, you know...
I think it is tomorrow.
Well,
yesterday.
Yeah.
Is that yesterday?
Yeah. You know, the stuff that has even been shown off in the beta period, it's just incredible.
It's crazy.
So I can't wait for that to come out. It's soon at time of recording.
Certainly is.
Mm.
Valentine's Day, in fact, is when it came out.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think? Is there a particular game that you would have liked to have seen be better or be iterated on and improved? And how would you do that? Let her snow.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Mm.
The fire is so delightful. Since we know place to go, let us know.
Precisely. And how will they do that?
At Team Triple Jump, wherever you like. You know, down the shops, in the pub, at the park.
Don't follow us to the pub or the shops, please.
Please not. YouTube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump. It's where our videos and streams happen. We've got mods there when we do streams. Lord Brotovich and Cecil Prompts. I had to actually look at the notes there to remember. How rude. Mm. No, it's because we've got a lot of excellent community members who do various things, such as Luke Eldon, who looks after our Facebook, which is facebook.com/Team Triple Jump. Likewise, twitter.com/Team Triple Jump. Those two places are where we do social media rings.
Yes, we do.
Patreon.com/Team Triple Jump is our Patreon, where we have all kinds of rewards, like early worst games ever, special bits of exclusive merchandise, or, for $1, access to a special room in our Discord, which is bit.ly/Team Triple Jump, being modded by Jack and Joe and Crimson Dragonfly.
Mm.
The website is triplej.mup, where we have a store, a shop,
yes.
/store.
Store.
We are English.
A stop.
And the podcast, if you want an audio version, because you're watching on the YouTubes, it's play.acast.com/s/triplejump.
Fantastic. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram, you can @ThatPeterAustin, @BenPotter20, and on Twitter @ThatPeterAustin and @Confused_Dude. We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday, streams every Monday, Tuesday and Thursday, Monday and Tuesday being solo streams on Twitch, Thursday being the joint stream, Blaze It, on YouTube. Worst Games is fortnightly, Friday for patrons, Sunday for everyone else. It's not Worst Games Ever Week. That'll be next week.
It will.
The podcast is every Saturday, and we do shows every other week. Please leave us a review on iTunes, etc. It helps. Something to do with algorithms. There were a couple of things out this week, Peter.
Yeah, I was about to say we did a Valentine's main menu yesterday at time of podcast release on Friday. That was fun, wasn't it?
Sure,
it was a fun one. We also. What else did we do this week? We did a Valentine's list.
We did.
The hunkiest, the 15 sexiest hunky sexy boys of 2019.
Video game.
Video, hunky. Yeah, not just.
Just in general. Otherwise, would be all the slots.
All 15. Mm-hmm. It's a format we've done once before on Triple Jump and once before at What Culture as well.
Yes, yeah. And
it's sort of an annual thing now, isn't it?
It is, although the reaction this year was not mixed, but certainly we've got people who weren't viewing last year who were like, oh, SJWs, because you didn't do one about women.
Yeah, there were actual comments saying,
wow,
I see that you're not going to be doing, I bet you won't do one about women because you're SJW cucks.
Well, you do one about women.
Yeah.
You see how that goes down.
Yeah.
Coward.
15 sexiest women.
Yeah, can you imagine?
And just there were comments.
It's a joke list.
It is. Yeah. We put like a car, a plane and a lion in it from spoilers from Zoo, Planet Zoo.
Mm-hmm. Robots.
Yeah. And even the people who weren't saying like, oh, I bet you won't do one for women, were just asking like genuinely like, oh, so are you going to do a women one soon?
No,
we're not.
It's a joke list.
Yeah.
It's a joke list. An annual joke list.
Really weird.
For goodness sake. Please go and watch it. It's available now. I think it's really funny and really well put together. So it's on the channel now. Please go and watch it.
So divisive, that format. Because some people really get it.
Last year's one went down really well.
There were people, when I mentioned in my stream that was coming out, people in the chat were going, oh my God, yes. You know, I really love that list. And then you get the other people.
You get people who are just being ironically snowflakes about it and calling you an SJW, which is now a banned word on the channel.
Ironically, I've or unironically.
Well, I suppose in both senses.
Yeah.
It's they're unironically calling us SJWs while themselves being snowflakes.
It's ironic.
And it's ironic that they're calling us snowflakes while, anyway. No, they're calling us SJWs while themselves being triggered by something very, very simple.
Mm.
Oh, the internet's fun, isn't it? Either way, I think that list is really good and
it's
meant to be really funny and it is funny. Mm-hmm. And please go and watch it.
Do.
Finally, we've got to have this sponsor.
Yeah.
But before you do that, we've got a song to play.
Yes, we do.
It's going to play us out. It's the Dick song. And that's all that knows. It's a song about Richard Marchenko Demo Dick. Who, of course, was a temporary host last year on Triple Jump for about a month. Yeah, he's gone for, but not forgotten.
No.
And X13 Inc. at X13_Inc. on Twitter and also on YouTube has written a song all about his exploits and what he means to us. And we are going to roll that at the end of the podcast for you all to listen to.
When you say X13 Inc., isn't it just 13 Inc.? Or XIII Inc.
Oh, you're right. I don't know why I said that.
It's the Roman numerals for 13.
Thank you. Yeah.
And
God.
Then Inc.
XIII_Inc.
Yeah.
13_. I don't know why I said that.
Why
did I even say that? So stupid.
Yeah.
What an idiot. Peter, who's the sponsor?
When you need to plop, but you're going to work and you've got to plop in the next 2 minutes, don't forget. Let me just check my notes. Check my notes. Sonic brand laxatives. Gotta go fast.
Fast?
Yeah. Well, it depends on. Yeah. It's. Do you have to go fast? Yes.
Yes.
Gotta go.
And these will
fast.
Make you go. Fast.
The question mark is optional.
Cool. Here's the song. Thanks for watching, everybody, and listening. See you later. Bye.
And had to go, but now they Celtic. Enjoy the right suckers and have a nice trip. And who could possibly forget my favorite of the pick? That's right, 99, you sweet piece of shit.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.